just like to say a little something about prayer, something in connection with prayer. And first of all, that's found in Philippians chapter 4. There's one word there that got my attention and my Aunt Grace. She was right in line with that. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Praise God. Philippians chapter 4. It starts with in the fourth verse and says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Philippians 4:4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Praise God. It's good to rejoice. It's a command. We were talking about that. Some of us were talking about that on the beach. That sometimes shadows come, but we don't accept them. We learn to turn away from them and to rejoice. We've heard it said you can praise away any shadow. And it's something we need to learn. That when shadows begin to come, we can praise them away. And we can look to Jesus. And then he goes on here and he says that we ought to let our moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And the sixth verse in particular, be careful. Now that means to be anxious. I'm always telling my children to be careful. And that's right. But this is a different type of care. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. I heard a preacher say one time, when someone says, take care, he says, no thank you. I'd rather cast my care. I don't want to take care. The preacher said, when someone says, take care to them, like, you know, goodbye, take care, they say, no thank you. Did you ever look up the word care in the dictionary? Torment, a feeling of anxiety, overwhelming anxiety. Why would I want to take care? The Bible tells me I can cast my care upon him, for he careth for me. And I tease Frank L. Kangaroo about that every once in a while, because he'll say, take care, and I'll say, no thank you, and then he remembers, cast your care. Be anxious for nothing, be careful for nothing, but instead of worrying, instead of being overwhelmed with anxious care, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Instead of worrying about it, pray about it. Bring it to God. And it says here what will happen. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Praise God. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Sometimes we worry. And then we say, what am I worrying about? I should bring that to the Lord. And then we do, and we find that he makes us to know that he's going to take care of everything, and that he begins to fill us with his peace. It's good to do that right away, because if you take time to worry, it gets into you. It takes longer to get out of here. And so, whenever you're tempted to worry, bring it to the Lord right away, and God will help you. But it says here, we ought to make our requests known with thanksgiving. That's an important ingredient in prayer. Make sure to give thanks every time you come to the Lord in prayer. When we pray with our girls, we say, well, let's think about something to be thankful for first. Thank Jesus for something, and then let's ask him about other things. And I was thinking about that. You know, Jesus was thankful. There's, I think, four places in the Bible, or four instances in the Bible where Jesus gave thanks. I'd like to just quickly look at them with you. It won't take much time. But he's our example. He's our example of prayer. He's our example of everything. And we read that Jesus gave thanks. You're probably thinking of some of those things already. Let's look at John chapter 6. The feeding of the 5,000. I imagine it's also mentioned in the feeding of the 4,000 too. That Jesus gave thanks. 6:11. Brother Phil, could you read that for us? John 6:11.
And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted.
Just rather natural. Jesus thanking God for the natural provision that he supplied for them. We thank the Lord when we sit at the table. We thank him for his provision. And sometimes that can just become a habit to us and we don't really think about it too much. But you know, everything comes from God. And we need to remember that, to acknowledge that. Lord, I thank you for providing this food for me, for my family. You know, a lot of people complain in America, but we really don't know what we have here. They say that in some of these third world countries, the poorest person in America would appear to them as though they're rich compared to their lot in life. Some only get one meal a day, sometimes even not that much. Some only have one set of clothes to wear. That's all they own, one shirt. And then we complain because we only had one helping of dessert, or whatever it may be. And sometimes we have to get out of our shell and see really what's going on in the world to see how good we have it. God's been very good to us. Along these lines, here in America, and we ought to thank God for that. Lord, we thank you for our daily provisions. Never take them for granted. Always recognize that they come from the hand of God. Psalm 104 goes right along with this. There's a nice verse there in the 27, 28 verses. Psalm 104, 27, 28. Maybe you have that?
These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good.
Amen. It says in the NIV, these will look up to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. And so, Jesus thanked God for his open hand, for his natural provision, for the sustenance that he provided. We ought to always be thankful for those natural things in our lives. Here's another one, Matthew 11:25. Matthew 11:25 and 26. Brother Dale, you have that, please?
At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight.
Amen. Jesus saw that the revelation that God was coming into the hearts, not of the wise and the learned, but the simple. And that made him rejoice. And it says there that Jesus thanked God. He rejoiced in spirit, and he thanked God that you hid these things from the wise and prudent, but you revealed them unto babes. We believe in that here at camp. That's why we have ministry to the children. We believe that the gospel is so simple that God can reveal that unto little children and those that are childlike in heart. You can't find God by your education or things of that sort, but that has to come by revelation. And God reveals himself to those that are childlike in heart. And so Jesus, as he went about ministering, he found that the people that were most receptive were the people that the world rejected. The people that the world felt there was no value to them. And these were the simple people. And these were the ones that were opening their heart to the gospel. And God was coming to them. And these others that thought they knew so much, they were really in darkness. And their hearts were closed to the light of God. And so the Lord was thankful for that revelation of God that was coming into lives. Praise God. That's why Jesus came, to bring us into that revelation. When we would go canvassing in Ridgewood, there's an upper area of Ridgewood and a lower area. The upper part of Ridgewood, the people are a little bit more well-to-do, have nicer homes and probably good jobs. And the lower area, people are a little bit poorer. And we always found that it was in the lower area of Ridgewood that people were much more receptive. They were always willing to talk to us about the Lord, receive a gospel tract, Then you'd cross over a certain street and go up a little bit further up, and people would turn you away, wouldn't want to listen, close the door. And you see what Jesus was talking about here, that God reveals himself to those that are simple and humble and see their need of him. And he rejoiced, because there are a whole lot more of those in the world. And then it goes on here, and we read another place in John 11. Okay, John 11, 41 and 42. That's the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Dad, do you have that? Do you want to read that?
Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead were laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me.
Okay. Here Jesus thanks God for the open heaven. Father, I thank you that you heard me. You always hear me. He had that confidence. I thank you that you always hear me, but I'm saying this out loud so that the people know that you hear me and that you're answering prayer and that you're doing this work, which is about to take place. And then he called Lazarus to come forth, and he came forth from the dead. And people marveled, of course. And they recognized that that was Jesus in union with the Father, doing that miraculous work. And so he thanked God that he hears him, that we can thank the Lord that he hears us always, that there's an open heaven and an open invitation, and that he hears the faintest cry, and when we come to him, we can have confidence that he hears us. We can come and we can put our faith in the precious blood of Christ. We can bring every sin and every shortcoming under the blood, and then we know that there's an open heaven and God hears us. The last one is I chose 1 Corinthians 11, although it's also found in the Gospels. And this is similar to the first one, but there's a little bit of a twist to it. And I found it interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 26. Brother Frank, you got that? 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, please.
For I received the reward that which also I delivered unto you, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, to bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, said, Take ye, this is my body which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Sorry, I'm not reading that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you. Here Jesus is thanking God for the bread, for the wine. The Apostle Paul is referring to the Lord, what we call the Lord's Supper. And at first glance, it looks like Jesus again is thanking God for natural provision. But really, he's thanking God for these emblems of his broken body and his blood. And when I thought about that, I thought, here Jesus is at the Last Supper. And he's taking this bread into his hands, which he knows represents his body, which shall be broken for them. The anguish, the suffering that was before him, the unimaginable suffering, and the shed blood that he would pour out his lifeblood. And yet he, before he went to the cross, took that bread and he took that wine and he said, God, thank you. Thank you that I can give my body to be broken for them, and that I can shed my blood for the remission of their sins. There's something very precious about that. It's more than just thanking God for his natural provision. This has to do with our spiritual well-being. And Jesus, knowing what it would cost him, those emblems represented his suffering, and yet he can still give thanks to God for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Praise God. But I think that Jesus could thank God. He thanked God that he could give himself for me. That was something that he thanked God for. That's hard for me to take in. But we certainly appreciate that, and we want to thank God for that too, always. And so what do we thank God for? We thank God for his natural provision. Never take those things for granted, whether it be food or some other provision that God has given you. Recognize it comes from his hand, and we thank him for it. And then let's thank him for the revelation that comes into our lives. You know, that's a miracle, that God reveals himself to us. If you are awakened to Jesus and his salvation, your need of him, that's God's doing. And it's a real miracle. And we ought to thank God for that light. We ought to thank God for an open heaven, that we can come to him with every need. We can pray. We can know that he hears us. And then thank God that he gave himself. Gave himself so willingly, so fully for us, in laying down his life on Calvary. Praise God. Those are the only four places or four instances that I read of Jesus giving thanks. And I think they cover pretty much everything. But we know that Jesus was one that was thankful all the time. And again, he tells us here, when we pray, make sure that you mix your prayer with thanksgiving. Sometimes when we pray, we're always thinking of what we need, we forget what we have. And so God doesn't want us to forget what we have and what he's done for us, but he wants us to be thankful. And so let's be thankful tonight as we pray. I'd like to just give you an opportunity, if there's some prayer requests that you have upon your heart, if there's a need in your life that you want us to take up in prayer, and you feel you'd like to share that with us, give you a moment to do that. And then I have a prayer request that has been sent to us that we want to take before the Lord, and then we'll go to prayer. And if you're comfortable praying on your knees, come. Let's pray on our knees. And if you're comfortable seated, that's fine, as long as you're kneeling in your heart. Diane.
Here's a family who's been attending our church ever since the husband got sick with cancer. You and the pastor, they pastored the church together, and got cancer, and was in a wheelchair for a number of years. And they're just a very, very godly family, and he passed away last week. So if we could pray for their in family, there's teenagers in the family that lost their dad, and just the Lord would uphold them and encourage them.
Yes. Okay. We'll do that. Let's remember that. The Wynn family?
Yes.
Brother Jim showed thanks because he's there.
Yes. Brother Jim Schulteis, pastor of the Keensburg Assembly, has had trouble with his heart. He's been in the hospital. He's there now. I heard today, I believe it was, that he's doing better. Our sister Minerva, she attends that church, and so she was in touch with somebody on the phone, and she told me that Brother Jim is coming along. They thought that he might be contracting pneumonia, but they took some tests, and everything's clear. He's breathing more on his own, still has some oxygen. But they see some improvement. The son went to see him. He said, my father opened his eyes. So I guess that means that he hadn't up till then. And so we thank God for the improvement there. Let's keep praying for it, Brother Jim. He's supposed to come next week and minister with his son, Jonathan. And so let's keep them in prayer. Okay? The Wynn family, Brother Jim. Someone else?
Pray for my pastor, Pastor Dominic, that the Lord would just become more real to him. Give him a greater hunger for him.
Okay. The Lord's doing some wonderful things there in our Brother Jerry's church out on Long Island. And we've had some contact with the pastor. He's a man that loves the Lord and seems to be hungry for God. And so we want to pray that God will come to him and show him his way more perfectly so that he can enter into a closer walk with the Lord and lead the congregation in that direction as well. Praise God. Someone else? Frank?
My mom's been having a problem with her heart.
Okay. Frank's mom. Nice Italian lady. She's got a big heart, but she's got a problem with it. So we have to pray that God will touch her. Praise God. Hallelujah. And let's not limit ourselves to just these prayer requests, but whatever's on your heart as we pray, let's bring them before the Lord. Let me just read this one to you. We received a prayer request today for Mrs. Mila Shiloh. She's a former camp nurse, and her children have been campers here. They're from the Utica area. And her husband, Ivan, was diagnosed with stomach cancer a year ago. And the stomach was removed, and he felt well for most of the year, but now the cancer spread to other internal organs, lymphoid node glands, and it's very aggressive. Chemotherapy didn't help. And so they've taken him off chemotherapy, and they give him about 3 months to live. They have four children that we know of that have been at the camp, there may be more, ranging from ages 6 to 18. The entire family needs our prayer. Sister Letha prayed with the wife today, and of course she's greatly devastated by the news and condition of her husband, but she's looking to the Lord, and we're going to look to the Lord with her. Okay, so rather than just pray each time the prayer request was given, let's just go to our knees or stay in our seats, but let's wait on the Lord now, and if as God reminds us of these prayer requests, let's take them before the Lord. You can pray about the request that you've made. We'll stand with you and believe that God will hear and answer mightily. Praise God. Amen.